If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Morning, Charlie McCown. Morning, John Richardson. How are we, fellas?
Excellent, thank you, Rob.
Very good form, thank you.
Good. An all Champions League, all British Champions League final, Charlie McCann. What did you make of the semi-finals this week?
I thought Chelsea were outstanding. Sorry, that's not fair, both teams. It's just that the City game, I felt they were always in control. The Real Madrid game, I thought really keep them at such arm's length. That Benzema shot in the first half apart, I thought they managed the game tremendously well and with no little ability. But Tuchel, I'm sorry, this will not, you know, it wouldn't have happened under Frank's watch. And I think, you know, we that doesn't mean to say that Frank won't rebound back and become an outstanding, possibly even England manager going forward. But no, I think we have to hold our hands up and say Tuchel's been, and the people behind that decision, whether it be Book or Abramovich, very good, very good. And it's going to be a hell of a final. And, you know, they're playing over the weekend as well. And, you know, they've beaten them in the FA Cup semi-final. So, as you say, to me, it's a toss of a coin.
Rico?
Well, have we forgotten what's been happening over the last few weeks? If you UEFA had any you-know-what, they should say, right, that's it. This is scrapped. Both of you, you know, have tried to go down the clandestine route. I'm sorry, you're not playing the Champions League final. And while at it, pull Manchester United out of the Europa League one as well. Let's see whether people are actually genuine about what they've been talking about the last few weeks. But no, surprise, surprise, money will talk again. TV contracts. UEFA haven't got the nerve to do it. That's what should happen. They should say, right, that's it. Null and void, Champions League. Goodbye.
I mean, that won't happen, will it? Because we know that won't happen.
Of course not. Of course not. So what we've had over the last two or three weeks is just complete hot air. All right. They've lost a bit of power. You know, they're not in the main debating chamber, if you like, in the future. But, you know, I still feel, you know, really strong about what's happened over the last few weeks. But I think people are starting to forget already. You know, it's all let them get on with it. Well, they shouldn't let them get on with it. What happened? They were trying to destroy the fabric of English football. And here they are. UEFA got the fantastic opportunity now to meet the ultimate punishment. Scrap.
John, if you go down that route, then surely Manchester City have to be have the Premier League taken away from them, because, of course, the fabric was not only to European football, but English domestic football as well. So you now have, if you're going down that route, surely then the Premier League becomes defunct this year, or Premier League title goes to Leicester City or West Ham United.
Yeah, well, I'd have points deductions, which has that. I'm just getting a bit frustrated that we all seem, not us, but, you know, generally, we seem to have forgotten.
Oh, it has.
What's gone on? Oh, that's gone now. That, you know, everything's...
No, there's a carpet. It's swept.
Yeah.
Say, John? Oh, no.
Yeah. So, you know, I still feel strongly about it. I speak to other people who say, oh, I'm not going to watch the Champions League final. It's two clubs who wanted to kick us in the what's it. So, you know, let's not forget this, and let's try and keep this little bit of a campaign going. But as you two boys say, it's not going to happen, is it? I agree that, but there's no harm in putting it out there. You know, let's not let this, as you say, Charlie, be swept under the carpet. I mean, it's one of the most serious things that's happened in the last few years.
One thing that can't be swept under the carpet this week is Arsenal last night, who I thought were appalling. And if you'd have told me that they'd have gone out with a whimper against a very, very ordinary Villarreal side. And also, I'd have had to say 12 months ago, if you'd have said that the loss of Granit Xhaka was fundamental, that they had no leaders on that pitch. I was, you know, I've always been an advocate of Mikel Arteta, but the statistics are, you know, for his Premier League record, and they put a lot of eggs in the Europa League basket. But last night was... Willian came on as a substitute with about 10 minutes to go. And I felt like going to North London and shaking him. It was as if he didn't know that they were behind. He waltzed off to take a corner as if I couldn't get my head around it whatsoever. Whether he was sulking because he'd only been brought on with 10 minutes to go. But they sold. I remember the first game of the season, everybody was saying what an outstanding signing he was from Chelsea. Chelsea wouldn't give him 2 years. He hasn't had a kick since. He's on what? Well, it's irrelevant what he's on. But that, to me, showed a lack of... He was not motivated when he went on that pitch. And that was a poor... People like Odegaard, I've had it up to the hair with Odegaard, and people said, Thomas Partey, up to there, useless. Not good for Arsenal Football Club. All the WhatsApp group with Evertonians was saying, Thomas Partey would be a great signing for us. He's slow, overpaid. It was just perfect for our midfield. I was really, really, I didn't watch any of the United game. Normally I'm a flitter on a Thursday. I didn't, because I was, you know, United's game was done and dusted, but that was terrible. That wasn't Arsenal Football Club for me. And for the first time, it was, you know, other Arsenal fans have been telling me that I'd have sort of rose-tinted glasses towards what was going on at the Emirates. I was disappointed.
Rico, the difficulty is, which is fair enough when you're talking about, you say we shouldn't be talking about, well, you're basically saying we shouldn't be talking about Manchester City and Chelsea.
We can be talking about them, but they shouldn't be playing this game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in fairness, Manchester United fans, I mean, maybe that's the only thing left, is a protest, is to say we've had enough of this. You know, but then as soon, you know, as a football fan as well, if it was Newcastle going to a Champions League final after it all gone on, a lot of fans will forgive anything if they're successful, won't they?
Yeah, of course they will. Of course they will. But you have to look deeper than that, you know, and fans have to look deeper than that. I think a lot of them would, because the fabric of the game was under threat, wasn't it? And we shouldn't forget that. We saw those protests at Old Trafford and, you know, half of it was genuine, you know, real supporters who, you know, been appalled by what's been going on and the Glazers, etc. And then, of course, we had the others who were, I'm afraid, idiots, you know, hitching onto a bandwagon of thuggery, if you like. I think fans are starting to say things. I mean, it's not just that. I think it's an opportunity. I think over the 14 months that we've had with COVID and everything, it's been an opportunity for fans to reflect on what's going on about their game. And I think that they've been looking at other things as well, the price of tickets, merchandising, etc., kickoff times, blah, blah, blah. And I think it's sort of a reality check for football at the moment. And I think fans are now thinking, yes, we have got a voice. You know, all right, you don't want the scenes of Old Trafford, some of those scenes, but they have got a voice, and they're going to be heard. And I think that is good for football.
And will the Champions League final be held in Istanbul, Rob, John?
That was my...
It will be, but it shouldn't be.
The wind out of my sails talking about...
Oh, sorry.
There's another case in point about UEFA. Why would possibly it be in Istanbul when the COVID cases are so much greater than here? Why can't I didn't say play at Prenton Park, but you could pretty much play anywhere, couldn't you? Here,
could somebody knock on UEFA's door and say there's
a pandemic
going on in the world?
It just literally that is one where I know if it was a full house, you know, they'd have all their the schmoozers and the sponsors
and the dignitaries. Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, I get that. I don't like that, but I get it. But this time, there is absolutely no sense apart from some play at Villa Park, play at Nottingham Forest, play it, because you don't need a big ground to play it.
Nope. And having been to that ground, it's in the middle of nowhere, literally. Yeah. I mean, you'd expect the Apaches on the hill coming. Coming down, you know, it's right in the middle of nowhere.
But why would you play it? Why would you play it there anyway? When I mean, we've had this conversation before, where suddenly Budapest has now lockdown and events. And we were saying, why are they playing in Budapest when the COVID cases there were probably worse than here? I mean, this is, to me, you just go today, you just go, right, we're moving it to somewhere here.
Yeah.
It just beggars belief. I believe Wembley is off because of playoffs and things. As you say, Rob, you don't need a big ground. I mean, if straight away, I was speaking last night and, you know, off the top of my head, I thought Cardiff would be ideal.
Yeah, Cardiff ideal, yeah.
But you know, if that's just somebody in a pub having a think about it, you know, you don't have it, and as you say, you've come up with, you know, if you want it centrally, why not the Midlands? Why not the City Ground at Nottingham? Why not Villa Park? You're not telling me that one of these grounds, when you've only got to, you know, I don't know if there's going to be 2,000 or whatever in, or 5,000. The whole thing is, you know, when we're going to have the Euros as well in centred in England, it will be other nations as well, but centred in and around sort of Britain. I just can't understand that, you know, and in 10 years' time, if people will look back and you remember when there was a global pandemic, two Premier League teams went to Istanbul to play.
I've got to ask a footballing one, because it does fascinate me. I know he's been absolutely hammered in the papers for laughing after the Chelsea game, but I think that's almost irrelevant. So please, guys, what has happened to Eden Hazard? Not just the other night. I mean, since 90 million. I mean, I'm laughing my head off because it's another typical Real Madrid. Let's get £90 million on Eden Hazard. What's gone on with? Apparently, he turned up 5k overweight when he first rocked up. But just what's going? I know he's had injuries, but I just can't make sense of a guy who was such a, you know, a wonderful talent who's not done a tap.
No, well, you almost say C.G. Bale, close brackets. whether he hasn't fitted in. I remember when Hazard in the last season went to Anfield. And I always think that, and he played Liverpool on his own, and he was absolutely sensation in a good Chelsea team, not a great Chelsea team. And I just thought, wow. And obviously Real Madrid thought, wow. And then he turned up 5K, and it's just taken so long, and he just wasn't the same player. He just wasn't the same player on, but he also didn't have the sort of motivation as well. What his next step
is. Is that enough money that says, oh, I've got enough money? But, you know, a guy like him, you'd expect him. I was dream move to Real Madrid. You'd think, I want to win things. And he just looks like, you know, me mate round the corner just rocked up playing left wing.
I don't know him. I don't know if John's ever spoke to him or whether what motivates him and things like that. But, you know, it's almost, you know, this is I'm set up for life. Thank you. I'll 5K for a professional footballer is a fair trek. And it's as if that's always been a shadow over him in his time, as well as injuries. But, you know, we don't know what the strength and condition and the physios are saying, but something is rotten in the state of Hazard land.
Rico?
Can I just generalise, because Charlie's made some good points there, and I agree with everything he said. Just generally, I'm in a grumpy mood, I'm fed up of these players at the end of games hugging each other. You know, Real Madrid has just been embarrassed. They've gone out of the Champions League. There's Eden Hazard, you know, larging it with his former Chelsea mates. Just not him. You know, you have a look. I know it drives Roy Keane mad, doesn't it? You know, they're hugging each other before they kick off and everything. And I think, I think we all know, they're not bothered. Most of them are not bothered. They're well-heeled, they're multi-millionaires. They don't care whether they win, lose or draw. Now, not everybody. I mean, there are, you know, players give everything. But generally speaking, I'm getting fed up of this. As soon as the final whistle goes, it's all this, you know, talking like this, blah, 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 you know, arm in arm, going off arm in arm. If I was Zinedine Zidane and I got Eden Hazard, you know, up against the wall, I mean, not that Zidane really shows much emotion either, but You know, this is shocking. Real Madrid are out the Champions League semi-final. There's people...
Oh, Rico, welcome to football 2021, mate.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't like it, Rob. I don't like it. I like bust-ups in the tunnel than, you know, the Pizzagate at Old Trafford, things like that, where people actually cared about losing a football match.
I'm totally with you. I did a thing for SoccerX a week ago, and we were talking, you know, about the football and Super League, and I said, do you think eventually people will get fed up with it? I know it sounds a bit of a... And I said, you know, I'd talk to you guys about the games. And the television companies have done an unbelievable job getting football on. But there's so much of it that you suddenly go, whereas you go even a year ago, you go, Leicester playing tonight. Leicester are playing Newcastle. Leicester playing Newcastle. Whereas I'm going, really? You know, that's just me. Maybe it's just me, but... No. There's too much of it. Never mind your point. There's a World Club Championship, an expanded World Club Championship. There's an expanded Champions League. Now, you either go with it and go, I'll buy into this, or you're a bit like me and go, well, I'd rather go and watch Crawley.
I always think less is more, you know. I mean, how many times do you watch your favourite rock artist? It may be once every 2 years, if you're lucky, and you can't wait, can you? You can't wait. But with football, it's saturation at the moment. There's too much.
And it shows no kind of let up, though, does it?
No, it's going to get worse, isn't it? Well, I mean, we've let UEFA off again because, you know, the new Champions League format is crazy. That hasn't been changed yet. There was all this fuss. Oh, yeah, we're going to listen to people. Are they listening to people? Of course they're not. So this will carry on. And in the end, I'm afraid fans will vote with their feet and... The days of capacity crowds will disappear.
Do you agree with that, Charlie?
I'll miss it after the post-Euros because I'm used to it. I'm used to wall-to-wall. I'm used to the ability of an evening to sit down and think, right, plan. Hollyoaks, Emmerdale, Curry, and then the football. And sometimes the 6 o'clock game is, you know, causes a slight friction in the McCann household because but I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to the Euros. I think that could be sensational.
I am.
Oh, I really am. And then on what, let's say it's normally around about July the 10th, I'll be, and then the fixtures will come out for the next season. And sorry,
there might be a bit of cricket. Sorry to go back to a football one because we're lurching from Rico's and I'm all with him. I'm with him totally. But I'm going back to a football one. And we talked about the Euros the other day, fellas, and you were saying it's an even call. I just wonder if France would come in shorter if Karim Benzema was playing up front for them because, yeah, he's getting older, but to me, he looks like he's getting better and better. What a forward he is, by the way.
Sorry, Charlie, go on.
No, on that WhatsApp group, I think it was the first leg, I said to you know, my friends and brothers, I said, you do know he can't get in the French team and Giroud leads the line and he can't get in Chelsea's team and he's arguably third choice striker now or possible with Havertz, Werner, Abraham. It's possible that he's fourth choice for Chelsea, yet Benzema, who to me... I couldn't be bothered how old he is. You know, you're not telling me that he isn't the best striker for France. But Giroud has won World Cups with them and you know, he's staying loyal. I don't even know if Benzema's in the squad or whatever.
Benzema's out of the squad because of non-footballing reasons.
Yeah. Fine.
I think we could safely say, which was the most... I still don't understand the case. It involves Balbuena, doesn't it? And all kinds of shenanigans, apparently, allegedly. But,
fine.
I mean, Karim Benzema up front for France, I think changes the whole complexion of the Euros.
I must admit, every year I look at Real Madrid, so it must be Benzema's last season. Must be last season. You know, he's this, he's that. As you two have just alluded to, he's playing the best football of his career at the moment. And by the way, we've talked about him before. How good was Cavani last night? You know, similar. He was outstanding last night.
But surely Sergio Ramos was Chelsea's best player the other night. I mean, I couldn't believe they did. Nobody picked up on the fact going, If I'd have been Thomas Tuchel, I'd go, please let Sergio Ramos play. Please let him play. Oh, he's playing. That'll do. Thank you. Good night.
He wasn't fit, was he? Could I...
No.
It was incredible.
He looked like Eden Hazard.
It'll be interesting to see where he plays next year. Because surely they will get rid of him, Real Madrid.
Who's that, Charlie?
Sergio Ramos. Is he not? I believe Sergio.
No, he's been offered another 1-year contract.
Oh, has he? Sorry, right, okay.
He wants 2 years.
And that's what I thought, that they were, right, okay, and they wouldn't budge. And so somewhere in the Premier League would offer him 2 years and things like that.
Can I just throw in, I was going to text you because I don't understand betting in any way, shape or form. But I was wondering if you could get in running a bet on how many PSG players were going to get sent off. If you could pinpoint Verratti and go, I want to put my mortgage on Verratti getting sent off. Because they are, I don't care what anybody says, they are a very, very difficult team to like, PSG.
Isn't that weird, Rob? I backed three. I often do this to be first... the first person booked, and I backed Verratti and De Herrera from Manchester United, who was the first person booked, and one of the City players, I can't remember, was Ronaldinho, Fernandinho. I think once I'd seen the teams, but of course he came in for N'Golo Kante and De Herrera, and sorry, I used to laugh at people.
Yeah, again.
Not get booked every game for Manchester United. So you can, Verratti can play, Jesus, he can play, but Ander Herrera, towards the end of his Manchester United, he had a sort of an Indian summer. I thought he was a complete journeyman. Then he played well, surprise, surprise, playing for his move again to Paris, got there. And of course he's been found out. He's a pretty ordinary footballer.
They're a team of psychopaths, aren't they? Let's be fair.
They've got a sense of entitlement, don't they? That they don't like losing. They're not used to losing, but they're very difficult to like. I find them very difficult
to like.
On the betting front, can I just say that Mrs. R came up trumps yesterday at Chester.
Oh.
Good old Johnny Norton, Love is Golden. 40.
I wonder what's like that.
we had a steward's inquiry as well, so we're sweating for half an hour.
You normally get paid first past the post these days, John. You may not be well aware of it. Online, most of the online bookmakers pay first past the post and, of course, would pay.
Wasn't aware of that, Charlie.
Unless you're betting on the exchanges, you're likely to get first past the post.
Very, very good for you, Rico. I just want to tip because we great stuff. Honestly, I'm loving it. Here we go. Tip our hat time. We've got to tip our hat to Leicester. I think they need 8 points from 4 games, Champions League. I thought West Ham were absolutely... I thought it wasn't a David Moyes team again. I know it was against Burnley and difficult away at her. I really enjoyed watching West Ham the other night. I've got to say, there was one move started in the right back position. If Ben Rama had put it in, it would have been goal of the season.
Wouldn't it?
I don't know if Charlie's going to agree to this, but what's the common denominator? For me, it's two very good managers. David Moyes. Do we get a thumbs up for David Moyes?
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
right. And Brendan Rodgers. Absolutely fantastic. Two managers, really, really doing it. And if I was Arsenal, get Brendan Rodgers. Safe. You're safe as houses. Tottenham as well. And David Moyes done a fantastic job.
Charlie?
David Moyes, apart from his last season at Everton, when I think him not signing a contract and then, of course, he getting more Everton not when he knew he was going to Manchester United. With an Everton hat on. Very, very good. Very, very good, David Moyes. I would also say as well, the renaissance in Burnley in the last 2 months. You know, they came to Goodison and I was talking to a Burnley supporter and we think it was 0-0 and they wiped the floor with Everton. Mm. And then they scored 3.5 goals or whatever. And they were, Chris Wood got a hat trick as well. Sorry, they as well, I think. And again, whether Sean Dyche is now saying to the the executive of Crystal Palace, look, we can play football as well. You know, I dominantly want to keep Burnley Football Club in the Premier League, but once I've achieved that, bang. Because honestly, they paid their part as well. But I would say that that Claretts game 3 months ago wouldn't have sort of raised you, wouldn't have, it was a terrific game.
It was. Rico, what's the managerial situation merry-go-round? Suddenly Graham Potter, who I thought at Brighton was under the cosh. Now Paul Barber says, oh, he's going absolutely nowhere. Graham Potter's been mentioned for Spurs. Sean Dyche has got to come into a mix for somebody, surely. What's the latest? What do we know?
Well, as you know, I know Sean pretty well. And I think he's done as much as he can at Burnley. Mm. I think it'd be good for both parties if he moved on to a Crystal Palace. I mean, that would be fantastic for him. I think he would take that job. And also, you know, it freshens up things at Burnley because he's been there, what, 8.5 years now. And I think familiarity sometimes breeds contempt. Yeah. Not seen it yet, but it could do. So I think that would be good. I like Graham Potter. I think he's done an okay job at Brighton. But I think you can ignore that. I don't think he's on Tottenham's shortlist. That's going to be interesting, Tottenham, because one or two that they fancy, they're not going to get. I still don't think the Brendan Rodgers interest is over yet. I know Brendan's been saying, yeah, I want to stay, which he's got to. Be interesting if Tottenham haven't got anybody in situ at the end of the season, whether that could run on. Yeah, there's going to be obviously a few changes.